Welcome to Healthy Mom, Healthy Baby Tennessee, a podcast brought to you by the Tennessee Initiative for Perinatal Quality Care. TIPQC exists to improve health outcomes for mothers and infants in Tennessee through our quality collaborative that will identify opportunities to optimize maternal and infant outcomes across our state and is funded under a grant contract with the state of Tennessee. The Healthy Mom, Healthy Baby Tennessee podcast is designed for medical professionals and for patients and families across the state. We will focus on all aspects of the perinatal period with special attention to reducing our maternal mortality rate. This podcast is brought to you through a cooperative agreement with the Alliance for Innovation on Maternal Health.
Welcome to the Healthy Mom, Healthy Baby Tennessee podcast, brought to you by the Tennessee Initiative for Perinatal Quality Care. My name is Patty Scott. I am the TIPQC Infant Improvement Nursing Leader, and I'm also a neonatal nurse practitioner here in Middle Tennessee. We are so excited to have Haley Beaupre join us today. Haley is a patient and family partner based in Nashville. In her experience with premature prolonged rupture of membranes twice, three preterm deliveries, and survival of a complete uterine rupture are her motivators to advocate for maternal health. She also serves on the Patient and Family Advisory Council with the Necrotizing Enterocolitis Society. Haley, we are so honored to have you join us today and your willingness to share your story. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
Why don't we begin by you just telling us a little bit about yourself?
Oh, sure. Well, I am a Nashville resident. I'm originally from St. Louis, Missouri. I moved here, in 2018, so almost 6 years ago. I have three babies. I have my son, Teddy, who passed away 16 days old. And then I have a daughter, Ellis. She is 2.5, and a baby girl, Harper. She is 7 months. That's the big things about me. I love to cook. I love to travel and spend time with my babies.
Well, I know those two little ones keep you busy.
They sure do. Busy is an understatement. Wonderful.
So what I'd like to talk to you a little bit more about is your first baby, Teddy. He was born very prematurely. Do you mind sharing a little bit about that pregnancy with us?
Sure. Yes. Teddy was born at 27 weeks and 3 days. It was a completely normal pregnancy, completely healthy. We did see maternal fetal medicine once after his anatomy scan, which now, looking back on it, it seems silly, but he had an inward turned foot. So we saw MFM just to make sure everything else was okay. So, but yeah, it was completely normal. And then he surprised us at 27 weeks, broke my waters on a Sunday morning.
That's a way to get woken up, isn't it?
It sure was, yeah.
So tell us a little bit about Teddy's journey.
Sure. So he, like I said, broke my waters at 27 weeks and 3 days. Like I said, of course, I was completely surprised. And we went to the hospital first thing. He was breached at that point. And so when I got there, we thought that we were going to maybe just stay there as long as we could, stay in the hospital as long as we could, keep him in. But I actually started to dilate. So I went into labor, and they don't know, you know, whether that was labor from my water actually breaking or if I was in labor and then that caused my water to break. But since he was coming no matter what and he was breached, they went ahead and did a C-section. So, of course, being so premature, he went to the NICU, and I mean, he was great. He was there for those 16 days, and he had a great NICU journey. He had his breathing tube removed like 24 hours later, and just continuously progressed. He was moved from the more intensive part of the NICU to they call it the penthouse, the feeder grower unit, where it's just, you know, babies who maybe have had surgery and are just recovering from surgery, and babies who aren't that needy. He made it all the way there. And then it was the 15th day, then that's when we we got a call that he wasn't doing so well.
I can only imagine how difficult it was to get that phone call. And just share with us what you're comfortable sharing, if that's okay, Haley.
Yeah, absolutely. So it was early in the morning. It was Halloween morning. And, you know, it was, of course, his first Halloween. So we had a little costume. We were ready to put him in. We got there that day. But early in the morning, so we're still sleeping. And I got a call from the NICU. And what they said was, Teddy's having a hard time. And it was just, yeah, those words just, they ring in my head forever. But because what could that possibly mean? You know, he's just a baby. He's just sleeping in his little incubator, but he's having a hard time. And so, of course, I sprung out of bed. I told Derek to get dressed. You know, we need to go to the hospital. And then once we got in the car, I called them back because now we're on our way and I need to know more. But they said he essentially coded. He started getting a little fussy and they saw his heart doing weird things on the monitor and they had to resuscitate him a couple times. So then we got to the hospital and when we got there, they were still trying to get a line on him. And so then that was really tough because they couldn't even touch him. And, you know, they were still all huddled around, the nurses and doctors still huddled around him trying to get a line on him. I think they ended up getting one in his head or in his neck. And yeah, and that day, honestly, it's kind of a blur. I don't remember a whole lot of specifics other than, you know, maybe they might have said at the time, you know, this is what we think's going on. And so they're x-raying him. And then that's when they saw abnormal gas patterns and they were suspicious for necrotizing enterocolitis, which is what he ended up being diagnosed with.
So I know they were working really hard to take good care of him, to take the very best care they could. Are there things that were said that maybe other people that are listening to this podcast, other families or other healthcare providers, are there things that you would share with them about things that were said during that time that were helpful and maybe things that weren't as helpful so we can all learn?
Yeah, let's think. It was helpful when we got there. We were just surrounded with the most love. Everyone rushed to our side, you know, to, I think, just give us that human touch. We were so frantic wanting to hold Teddy and touch him. And of course, we couldn't. And so people rushed to be around us and, you know, letting us know that it would be okay. And they were doing everything they could to make him comfortable. I wish I could remember more specifics about what was said. I don't think there was anything that wasn't helpful. They did their absolute best to keep us as abreast of the situation as they could. But as you know, in an emergency like that, it was just all, the tensions were so high and everyone was just
I think it's helpful to know that you felt their love and their concern. I think that's really important to not forget that human piece, right?
Yeah. I mean, that is what, like when people ask me about our time in the NICU and, you know, that must have been so hard. And of course it is when you can't bring your baby home at night, but they made it so comfortable, like a home to us, just always ensuring that we had everything we needed, comfortable chairs to sit in, you know, do we want to hold him? Do we want to help change his diaper? All the things. And they became like family to us. We are still very close with several of the nurses that took care of him. And it's just so special. Like, he was born on October 16th. And so I had a C-section and I was, of course, recovering for a few hours before I could actually go see him in the NICU. And I got up there, you know, maybe 4 hours later, and he already had decorations in his little bay. He had a little sign that said Teddy, you know, it was on a pumpkin and just really like sweet things like that. And he was there for, like I said, 16 days only. But during that time, I think they had redecorated 3 times. And so it was just really, really lovely touches like that. You know, he got sick on Halloween, but they even offered, you know, do you want to put a little costume on him? And, you know, we said no, because we just weren't feeling the spirit. But the fact that they had offered that, it was really sweet, because your baby's first Halloween, his first real holiday, and you wanted him to be able to participate, right? So sweet things like that. Like, it's, I get teary thinking about it.
It's okay. It's okay. So, yeah. Some words of wisdom that I'm hearing from you to share with people that are listening. If you're a healthcare provider, those little things that maybe you think are not so important, like those little pictures or those little footprints, are very important to moms and dads when
they're everything. Yeah. They're everything. And especially like in our situation where we thought he would come home with us one day. So now I wish I would have taken way more pictures and had more things, but those little keepsakes that we do have are so, so meaningful. So
you still have them, Haley?
Of course. Yeah.
Well, I'm sure people listening, I know in the units that I have the privilege to cover, the nurses are so good about those little keepsakes, those little pictures and drawings and sayings they put in the beds. They have so much fun putting those together. So I know to hear that it means so much to moms and dads is heartwarming for them.
Oh, yes. Yeah, those human touches, like, I just can't say enough good things about the nurses and doctors who took care of him. Yeah, meant everything.
Well, I think anybody that takes care of moms and babies and anybody in the hospital all want to do a very good job. So it's good to hear that you felt that.
I wanted to add, and because that time where your baby's in the NICU and it's stressful and you're unsure, I feel like maybe I didn't express my gratitude as much during that time. But I would want, you know, nurses and doctors and everyone who's taking care of the babies and the NICU to know is that even when parents aren't saying it, they feel the gratitude. And so just because someone's not saying thank you, then just know that your work is so important and we're really grateful.
That's very sweet, Haley. And I would say, as one of the people in the hospital, what the parents bring is very, very important, because we love your baby. We love the babies. We love the moms. We love the dads. But it's not the same love that they get from their mamas and their daddies and their grandparents and their families. It's not the same. So it takes all of us for that baby to feel the love, right?
Right. Yeah.
It takes all of us. And nobody loves their baby like mom and daddy do, right?
That's true.
That's true. Can you think of any other words of wisdom from any part of your stay during the first few days when he was doing so well and progressing, and then even towards the end when things had changed? Can you think of any other words of wisdom to share with anybody listening that might help them if they're going through a similar situation?
I think what I would probably tell myself something during that time, or if I would, there's something I would have wanted someone to say to me, I think it would be just to soak it all up and don't worry about anything else that's going on. Just be in the moment there for your child and the rest of your family, and just know that this too shall pass and that they're in the very best place that they can be at the time. They're getting the best care that they can, and they'll be all the better for it. So as hard as that time, it's also a very sacred time where nothing else in the world matters. You have no other responsibilities that mean as much as being the parent to your baby.
Mm-hmm. That's good advice. But sometimes with some of our families, that can be kind of hard. So I'm glad they get to hear that from you, because you've walked in those shoes. You know, they can hear it from the docs and the nurses all the time, but to hear it from another parent, I think, is really powerful.
Yeah.
When Teddy got sick and when he was diagnosed with the necrotizing enterocolitis, do you mind sharing a little bit about, from your perspective, what that is, what that disease is?
Yes. So necrotizing enterocolitis, or NEC for short, it's an intestinal disease that basically, it's inflammation of the gut, and then it can lead to bowel perforation. And may require surgery, removing part of the intestine, but it's really severe. It happens really fast and can be fatal. In Teddy's case, it was. His was non-surgical. It came on so quickly, and surgery to remove part of his bowel wouldn't have been helpful. Neck is, it's not common, but it's not rare, and affects it. I might have already said this, but primarily premature infants or medically fragile newborns. And yeah, it's very scary. There's no one cause. There are known risk factors, but there's no one identified cause for neck. And we don't see it coming. It just happens. Like in our case, we got the call in the middle of the night, and yeah, it was already on its way. So,
and it's a horrible disease. And neonatologists, the doctors that work with premature babies, the nurse practitioners, the nurses, the respiratory therapists, we all hate it because it's a horrible disease that no matter what we seem to do, we can't completely get rid of. Every unit across the country has all kinds of things in place that they're trying to do to prevent necrotizing enterocolitis. And it just is a very frustrating disease because you do everything that you have been taught and you learn that works, and you'll still have a sweet baby that ends up getting it. It's horrible. But everyone is continuing to fight the strong fight to try to get rid of it. That's for sure.
Yeah, that's right.
So we know that you're working with the Necrotizing Enterocolitis Society. Tell us a little bit about your advocacy work there, because obviously it was inspired by your sweet Teddy.
It was. Yeah, I had never heard of them. Of course, I had never even heard of NEC before Teddy had it, but I'm on their Patient Family Advisory Council. It's a group of patient family members, and our role is to kind of help guide the organization and ensure that families' voices are in consideration of their work, shaping what they do, and that helps, you know, drive meaningful change in the way of NEC Society's mission, which is to build a world without NEC, essentially. And they do that by through research and advocacy work and also education. So it's a large network at this point, and they've done some really amazing work so far. But yeah, I mean, if you have not heard of necrotizing enterocolitis, then you haven't heard of it, because you wouldn't unless, you know, you've been affected. So they're trying to change that. We're trying to increase awareness.
And, you know, I think it's so important. TIPQC works hard to have family partners on all of our quality improvement projects. And I've learned a lot over the last several years about how important it is for parents to be involved, because the perspective that they bring to things is so different. Most of us, you know, our parents, we like to think, I mean, I like to think I'm very warm and fuzzy, and that I have good phrases and words that I use when I'm talking to parents when I'm at work. But it's different when you've got that medical knowledge and you're trying to talk to someone who doesn't have the medical knowledge. It's hard. And to have these patient advisors, patient and family partners, to help you with your wording, the way you say things, the way you have your written materials, to make it more patient and family friendly, is just so important. And I can't say enough about how important your work is. So we really, really appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. And to that point, I mean, it goes both ways, because parents like myself, for example, you know, I didn't end up getting to bring Teddy home. He passed away. So I don't get to parent him. And so, you know, my way of doing that after the fact is participating in things like this and working with the NEC Society, and in hopes that no other babies ever have to go through that, no other families have to experience that. So that's how it's giving back to us as well, because we're able to contribute in some way. And that's how we parent our baby who's not him.
That's a nice way to look at that. Because I know it has to be hard. I've had the pleasure of getting to hear you talk about Teddy before, and I know it's hard for you, but I'm kind of hearing that it gives you a little bit of peace to share his story. Is that right, Haley?
Yeah, that's exactly right. I love to talk about him. So I'm happy to, anytime anyone asks me to talk about Teddy, I'm like, yep, absolutely. Cause it keeps him alive for me. It keeps him here. And how many years have passed now? Over 3. So it's, you know, as time goes by, the memories get a little fuzzier, but at least I get to keep a little bit of him around. So.
And his spirit through mom is helping other families and other babies.
That's right.
That's right. That's right. I am so impressed with you. I so appreciate you sharing. As we wrap up, is there anything else in general about the NICU or about having a baby in the NICU, being a mom that knows she's going to deliver a preterm baby, anything from any of that different journey that you want to share that could benefit us or give us a little bit different insight?
So, well, you know this, Patty, but my third baby, Harper, she was preterm as well. She was born at 30, well, I guess both were. Alice was born at 36 weeks, but she never went to the NICU. Harper was 34 weeker, and she was a big surprise too. She, my uterus ruptured, and so I went into an urgent C-section with her. So we knew then that day she would be a NICU baby, but I hadn't fully prepared myself for the experience. That day I had to kind of come to terms with it, but I realized then that I was nervous and this was going to happen all over again. Mm-hmm. And thankfully I had despite Teddy passing away, I had an overall really positive experience with the NICU. So I wasn't too upset that she was going to go. I was surprised, and I, you know, of course accepted that was the best thing for her. I guess I took my own advice in that situation and just remembered that it was the best place for her and that it was going to, that too would pass. And of course, eventually she'd get big and get to leave the NICU. And of course she did. Now she's 7 months old and healthy, of course. So I hope that other NICU parents, you know, or prospective NICU parents can know ahead of time that it's not the worst thing in the world. And if anything, you get a lot of extra special attention and your babies are loved by so many other people as well. Yeah. I think that's what I'd like to share.
That's good. So one more question. I should have thought of this earlier. How scary was it to have an emergency C-section?
It probably should have been scarier, but I was so grateful that I caught it, I guess, because, and I guess I could tell the story of what happened, but
yes.
So Harper was born on a Monday, but on Sunday that day, I'd been feeling a little sick and actually ended up vomiting, and it was just Harper, I think. But anyway, after that, I started having some lower left abdominal pain, which I really just thought was I pulled a, you know, the round ligament or something when I was throwing up. So kind of, you know, I just rested and was seeing if it would subside, which it didn't throughout the night. It just kind of kept feeling worse, but not so severe that I thought, oh, I need to go into the emergency room right now. I did, you know, message my doctor the next day and said, hey, this is happening. And luckily they said, okay, why don't you just go into the OBER and let them check you out. And I was like, okay, fine. I guess I gotta stop working for the day and go in. And so I did. And they thought, oh, maybe it's a kidney stone. Maybe it's something else. Eventually they did an ultrasound. The baby was fine. So they checked that and she was doing great heart sounds and everything like that. But they ended up doing an ultrasound. And that's of course when they saw that my uterus had split open on the lower left side, and they're like, okay, let's go ahead and take her out. At that point, I was more upset that she was, you know, going to be so premature. Like, I never anticipated having a full-term baby because Teddy was 27 weeks, Alice was 36 weeks. You know, I had a feeling Harper would be somewhere around the 36-week mark as well. And so I didn't think I'd ever have a term baby, but I didn't think 34 weeks. And so I was a little disappointed about that, but I was just so grateful that they had caught it and, you know, nothing worse than that happened. It wasn't until after my doctor got done sewing me up again, she was like, yeah, that could have been really bad. And she, of course, showed me the picture that she took. It was horrifying. And she's like, that was a close call. So I didn't even really know. I don't think that it was as serious as it was. I was just upset that she was going to be preterm and didn't get a few more weeks in.
But you know, Haley, you know what the lesson to that is to me that I think is important for people to hear is that you listen to your body.
Yes.
Something wasn't quite right and you called your doctor.
Yes. And you know what? I even should have called earlier than that. So I think maybe that's a word of wisdom too, just to anyone out there who's questioning whether or not to go be seen. Just mm-hmm. go be seen, because it's better safe than sorry. It really is. Like, it was such a close call. I don't even like to think about it too much now.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I could have lost another child. I could have died too. I didn't know. I didn't think it was, you know, I thought it was just 34 weeks pregnant and I don't feel good. It's pretty typical, but no, but listen to your body. And if it seems weird, it probably is. So.
And I think sometimes people don't want to bother their doctor, their provider, their midwife, whoever it is that's helping them with their pregnancy. But please, please, please hear that they want to be bothered. If there's something that doesn't feel right, they would so much rather you call them and then get to say, there's nothing for you to worry about. They would much rather say that than 100 times than you not call at all. I guarantee it.
Yeah.
They do what they do because they love moms and they love babies and they want to take good care of them. So I think that's a huge, so kudos to you for listening to your body. All right. And kudos to you for having a positive attitude about a 34 weeker, because they are a little different of an animal than a term baby.
But you know what? She's crazier than the 36 weeker. I can barely contain her. She's already wanting to hold her own bottle and doing all the things. So I think they are a different animal.
They are. I love them. Those little great imposters. That's what we call those late preterm babies. They're great imposters.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
I have loved spending this time with you. And I know our listeners have enjoyed your story. And I know that they shed some tears over Mr. Teddy, but we appreciate you sharing his story. We are all inspired by him and by you and your work.
Well, I really appreciate this. Thank you so much for letting me talk.
Anytime, Haley, anytime. I hope to see you again soon. It was wonderful talking to you, and keep up your great work with the NEXT Society.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Healthy Mom, Healthy Baby Tennessee, presented by TIPQC. TIPQC is funded under a grant contract with the state of Tennessee. Healthy Mom, Healthy Baby Tennessee is brought to you through a cooperative agreement with the Alliance for Innovation on Maternal Health. Do you have ideas for a future guest or topic, or even have a question you would like answered on upcoming episodes? Visit www.tipqc.org, that's TIPQC.org, and click on podcast to submit suggestions and questions to our podcast team. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast to be the first to know when new episodes are available, and find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube to stay in the loop with our active projects and other relevant news relating to perinatal health in Tennessee.